this is Suzanne with Hi, this is Suzanne with Mad Scientist Exposed, and I'd like to thank you for sharing this time with me. If you'd like to call in, the number to call in is 347-324-3704, and you can listen to the show at that number, or you can hit 1 and speak with us on the show here. So what I'd like to talk about today is brain chips and electronic medicine, because it seems to be popping up in the news a lot lately. There's articles on the Drudge Report, and he's been covering them over time. And, you know, some things are chips and some things are transmitted just by contact with the skin. But if you'd like to, read along at some of the articles that I've been reading about it, you can just go to madscientist.exposed. And so let me pull up the first article that I've been reading here. One moment. I should rattle my papers like Rush Limbaugh does. So the first thing, the thing that's in the news today is a forehead zapper used to ease migraine pain. And that is an article out of England, not very long. It says, forehead zapper to ease migraine pain. Tiny implant in the forehead sends electric pulses. And it's called a Stim Relief Halo System. It consists of a tiny implant inserted into the forehead and battery clips that it clips to your ear, and it sends electric pulses to the chip wirelessly, I guess, when you push a button on the battery. So I guess if it's wireless, the way to reach the chip is a little, must be a little, maybe it's a radio wave, maybe it's a magnetic pulse. I'm not sure exactly how it's transmitting the electric pulse to the chip. It says a pea-sized device that produces weak pulses of electricity is being tested as a treatment for migraine. Stim Relief Halo system consists of a tiny implant inserted in the forehead just under the skin and a battery which clips to the ear, so it's repeating itself. More than 140 people are taking part in a U.S. trial where they will have the implant fitted, but half won't have the batteries activated, and so I guess that's how they're going to test the success on it. If patients can trigger an electronic pulse, those who have activated batteries, signal to the button on the battery. And they have here a picture of a woman holding her head in obvious pain, or it's a good actress, I don't know. And they have a little video on this page explaining, you know, migraines and they're how they tend to focus in one part in the skull, and then they progress down the neck and it can progress into nausea and visual ailments and things like that. And, you know, one important thing in this little video, which isn't written into the article, is that apparently many migraine sufferers have what are called triggers. And it can be, I don't know, a time of day or an event or something in their diet. And what I had happened to me a few years ago is I started having these just random days where I was just totally incapacitated with horrible pain and nausea and light sensitivity and all that. Just random lose a day here and there. And, you know, I'm a busy mom and things to do, and I couldn't afford to be losing pain. And I stumbled upon the fact that instant coffee was triggering it in me. So I eliminated that from my diet. I went to brewed coffee and have never looked back. It's just, you know, a lot easier than getting some kind of a chip implanted in my forehead. So, you know, if you can do the process of elimination with yourself, you might luck out like I did and find out what's really causing it. And down the road, I did find that a really cheap brand of brewed coffee was starting to trigger not as severe, but some pain through my eye, and it was really weird, and I upgraded the quality of the coffee I was drinking, and that really helped a lot. So let's see. Go in the line here. Let's see. This whole thing is related to, I don't know if you remember TINS. It's a pain relief thing. It stands for, I think it's transcutaneous electronic neurostimulation. And that's been around a really, really long time. I remember, 30 years ago, I knew people at, it was an elderly lady who was having bad back pain, and she had a TENS unit, and it was like the new thing at the time. And since she actually had little pins under her skin that these electrodes would connect to, and she could just hit the button and it would block the nerve transmission so that she wouldn't have that back pain anymore. And, I just thought, ooh, yuck, I just don't like needles under the skin kind of thing. Well, I guess that whole system has modernized, because now there's, you can buy it off of, Amazon now, or any large number of shops here I'm seeing. I Googled them up, and they have like stick-on patches. They're not necessarily, don't have to have them inserted by a doctor or anything anymore. And so I think this migraine thing out of England, that's the front page news, the drudge, it's a very old technology, and I guess it's being recycled as new. So anyway, those are pretty handy. There's also there's other uses for electronic stimulation. A while back, I remembered a story I saw about a skull cap that would transmit electronic signals into the brain, and actually is a method of treating some types of brain cancers. It was the big news, a couple of years ago when I saw it, and I don't know how widely used it is. It's been approved by the FDA for use, and it's only about a couple of years ago, 2014, because I've actually lost two friends myself in my lifetime, brain cancer. And if this had been around like 30 or 40 years ago when it happened, I'm not quite that old. Maybe it was 20 and 30 years ago when it happened. It might have been nice. So that there's an article on, it's called In Habitat, and it says FDA approved cancer-killing skull cap to treat brain tumors. And they have, just a little electronic machine sitting here with a plug to this, looks like a gauze cap on this mannequin head. It says people who suffer from a form of brain cancer called GBM, glioblastoma multiforme, that resists chemotherapy and radiation will soon be able to undergo a less intrusive electrical treatment at home. Recently approved by the FDA, the Novo TTF-100A comprises a cap of electrodes attached to a machine that delivers a low-level electric current directly to the patient's scalp. Known as tumor treatment fields, the electricity disrupts the tumor cell's shape and electrical configuration such that their rapid growth is either stopped or even reversed. They have a picture of a man standing in a bus here, and he's wearing one, and he's got the unit over a shoulder strap, and he's got the gauze skull cap on his head, and he's just going about his life with this. It says the most common form of brain cancer, GBM, is also highly resistant to even the strongest radiation and chemotherapy. Those patients who've gotten no results from traditional treatment methods will be eligible to use the Novo TTF-100A at home. I like how they call it traditional, like it actually, a medical treatment is a tradition, like folk songs and dances and cuisine. It's like, to me, a tradition is something to be celebrated. If better treatments come along, why keep the old treatments around? I don't know, if, particularly when they know that particular kind of cancer is resistant. So it goes on, the cap must be worn at all times and works either on batteries or plugged into an electrical outlet. Although the electrical treatment results in more cases of neurological side effects such as convulsions or headaches, researchers say that users enjoy a better quality of life when compared to current treatments. Removing the nasty chemicals from the equation also eliminates nausea, anemia, fatigue, and infection. Finally, this new technology not only allows intensive cancer treatment to take place in the far sweeter comfort of home, but it also is completely portable. Well, one thing I don't understand is why not try this first? It's non-invasive. It's doesn't have, maybe it has a few side effects, but not what they've gotten from the chemotherapy and the radiation. And it could be, my personal guess would be that the side effects from this might not be as severe if they hadn't already gone through the chemotherapy and the radiation, which themselves can cause damage to the body. So it's just interesting things going on, and it's good to know that there are different things out there besides the chemotherapy and the radiation. And I probably, most people listening to the show are aware that there are people out there saying that they've resolved their own cancers with nutrition, just by boosting up the immune system with proper nutrition. If you give the body the tools it needs to heal itself, it often will, particularly if you haven't pre-damaged it with something as severe as chemotherapy and radiation. So I think this would probably, in the long term, apply to more cancers than just brain cancer. But right now it's a nice, convenient way. I don't know, maybe that kind of cancer is only happens in the brain. I don't know. But, there's people, I remember when I was a kid, one of the Kennedy boys had bone cancer in his leg, and he ended up losing the leg. But I wonder if something like this might have resolved it. Because, I've read some books by some of the originators of treatments like 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 80 years ago, when electricity was first being explored, when it came, first was part of civilization, people were experimenting with, electromedicine, they called it. And in the 30s, there was a guy named Royal Rife who was using electromagnetic waves. And he claimed that there were viruses that caused cancer, viruses involved, and then the cancer would resolve itself. And, at the time, that's pretty radical, that a virus causes cancer or can cause cancer. But now we know that with all the things in the vaccines and the SV40 virus in many vaccines that have caused cancer over the last couple of, last several decades. And, the industry just admits it with the HPV vaccine. That's all about the human papillomavirus and supposedly preventing cervical cancer down the line. So, it's the open secret. There are viruses that cause many cancers, and if you can take those viruses out, then maybe the cancers will resolve themselves. But that's like the easy way to go. there's some of these electrical zappers, I know this particular one with the skull cap is probably patented because maybe the shape of the skull cap, I don't know. But I don't know if many people listening have heard of Hulda Clark. And she wrote Cancers, One Was the Cure for All Diseases. And she provided people with schematics for building their own electronic zappers and their microcurrents. And, I own one that I bought online a couple of years ago. I ordered it from Canada, and because in the United States, you can't just treat somebody with one of these things and tell them they'll be cured, because you never know. Maybe, it's whatever the other cause of the illness is, maybe you're not treating it right, but the FDA will come after you, say, I can cure you with such and such. So all you're really allowed to do is self-experimentation, but these things are available online with various forms of connections. You can hold on to copper pipes. You can get, patches that, will, like, Velcro to your wrist. You spray them with water and Velcro them to your wrist. There's people that stick their feet in pans of water, and they'll sit and they'll run these microcurrents. And, some people can feel them a little bit, and I can't feel them myself. So it's, but it's even those that can feel them, it's not a painful thing. It's just, something that, you're allowed to experiment on yourself, but you can't go into business treating people with these. I heard a really interesting interview with the actress Karen Allen. She was in the first Indiana Jones, which my kids tell me now they've made a couple of prequels, so it's the second or third Indiana Jones. But Karen Allen, in the oldest Indiana Jones movie, I should say, and she I really liked her character, and when they came out with subsequent Indiana Joneses, she wasn't in them anymore, and I was so disappointed, and I never knew why for years, and I finally found out something beeped in my ear. I'm not sure. Anyway, I finally found out that, Lyme disease. And Lyme disease is, and you know, mostly in the east of the United States, but it's spreading. I'm sorry, the beeping in my ear. Apparently, I'm dialed into the radio show, and somebody didn't know I was on air and called me. So I canceled real quick. Anyway, she developed Lyme disease and was sick for years, and she went from doctor to doctor to doctor. And kept treating her with antibiotics and all these different courses of antibiotics, and they weren't helping. So she finally, somebody suggested that she go see a particular chiropractor who happened to have one of these zappers, and she sat for a long time, you know, with the zapper thing, and I think she spent several hours there. And the next day she woke up and realized she didn't have any symptoms anymore, and they, in fact, never returned. And so she bought one of these things herself to keep it handy in case she ever needed it. And then, if she feels, you know, cold or flu coming on or whatever, she uses it and she swears by it. And it's a very interesting YouTube video. You can pull it up, you know, just pull it up on YouTube, Karen Allen Lyme disease. And there's, I guess, several copies of it now floating around on YouTube. And just an interesting, interesting thing to listen to. So, I have a caller here. Let me say hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Who is this? Can I have your name?
This is Steve.
Hi, Steve. Hi.
Hi.
So what are your thoughts? Have you been listening to me ramble on?
Yeah. And I appreciate your being on. I appreciated getting a notification you had such a show. And I happen to have some experience with migraine headaches, which we've now discussed. But I'm surprised because I thought we were going to be talking about sunspots and earthquakes and HARP and stuff. What happened?
Oh, well, I was afraid of scaring people.
Okay.
I do have an article up, folks, on what's going on with CERN and sunspots and stuff like that. And when I get up the nerve to not scare people, there are some mad scientists out there.
Well,
I'll do
this one's at least disappointed that we're not talking about such things as teensy black holes and so forth. But, you know, that's why I called. Because I wanted to be part of that particular.
Well, we can certainly digress. We can go to that. I've been following a mutual friend of ours. Steve is a friend of mine from Southern Arizona, and a mutual friend of ours. And I have been following this scientist on YouTube, BP Earthwatch, and he's got a website, bpearthwatch.com. And it took watching multiple episodes of what he was saying to figure out what he was going at. He jumps from satellite feed to satellite feed to satellite feed, USGS seismology data, and CERN. And he watches when they're spinning up the CERN collider, and they spin it up. They reach a point where he says they haven't reached light yet, but they reached luminosity, and I'm not sure what he means exactly, but When they spin this thing up, it sucks so much energy that it simultaneously will deform the Earth's magnetic field, which he shows you the diagrams of this in his videos on YouTube, of the Earth's magnetic shield. And it deforms, and it has been seen to collapse. And it just collapsed down to the like the top of the atmosphere, as low as a satellite can reach. And when they do that, he's looking at satellites that orbit the sun. He's got stereo views of the sun and sunspots that will start arcing, and then eventually will coronal mass ejection, which comes back and hits the Earth. And if it hits the Earth while that magnetic field is down, gee, magically, there's some major earthquakes going on. And he saw this with Japan, and he saw this with Ecuador. And you wonder if they know what they're doing. And or if it's intentional, or if it's intentional, or if it's just an accident, I don't know. But it's kind of like ricochets around the solar system like some big Rube Goldberg mousetrap, you know, and that's what I called it in my most recent article on Mad Scientist that exposed. It's like, I don't know what to make of it, but you know what? We all better have made our peace with God, because that's how I live with this kind of thing. So now I've scared the audience.
You've done it.
I don't know. So, I mean, I've been going by my whole website. I mean, I started it because I realized things were really wrong in the vaccine industry. You know, I saw this scientist being interviewed on Greta Van Susteren, and it was Ebola was all the topic of the day, and she was a vaccine research scientist, and she was practically giddy about the prospect of playing with these vaccines and playing with these viruses and how it's going to help the economy. I'm like, help the economy? How can it help the economy if it's killing off, you know, the people who make the economy? So I thought, oh my God, there is such a thing as a mad scientist, you know, just, you know, a science is supposed to serve mankind, not the other way around. So I don't, anyway.
Some of us were just plain angry.
I got angry when I figured out, I mean, I couldn't stop blogging about her. I was like, I had this other political blog, and I saw, and she was from Scripps, I don't know, pharmaceutical research, whatever they're called, and at Scripps.edu. And apparently they're connected to the Rockefeller.edu on the East Coast. Scripps is in California. Rockefeller.edu is in New York. And I had blogged about her on my other website, and I saw the tracking come through. And you got to use more than Google Analytics to get the IP addresses so you know where people, at least the general area where they're coming from. And I saw Rockefeller.edu come through. I said, okay, they're going to email her. They must know her. And sure enough, right after that, Scripps.edu came through. So I know she saw what I said. And I reposted that article over on Mad Scientist that exposed so people could see it. So that's actually the first article on that site. But that's not black holes and and mini big bangs. But there are bigger weapons out there besides just vaccines. I mean, vaccines is pretty big. Anyway,
I have a friend who's much further into vaccines and all that than I'll ever be, but she is also touting the fact that all cancers are man-made, and she pointed me recently to a series on cancer, which was something like 10 or 15 hours long of a series of free videos over a weekend. And I don't know whether I'm in a position with a laptop to capture what went by on that and share it with you by email. But
well, there was this thing.
At least you two ought to be made in contact. So
yeah,
I can do this
was
stuff
that,
about that?
Was that the series, The Truth About Cancer, that ran recently?
That could be it, yes.
Because I guess that's an expanded one from the one they ran, I don't know, almost a year ago. And, you know, the 11-hour, I should sign up and buy in and watch all 11.
Probably.
Or maybe more than that. I should watch all
anyway,
of that. And some of the series.
Do you know about Rick Davis, Dr. Rick Davis?
No.
Who's into the vaccines and all that. Yeah, so I think, you know, I can link you two up and you'll have a blast.
Yeah, there
I
he
wanted
is. It
to
says
say
political
about,
figure.
I'm sorry?
It says political figure. If he's doing real research and helping people and stuff, I mean, there's been like 20 natural doctors that have been mysteriously suicided in the last year or so. So
yeah,
you can
could be close to that. I don't know. But
you need to
I did want to say about migraines.
Yeah.
I had a head injury at the age of 8 or so. And I had migraines for, I don't know, a year maybe or more that were just excruciating. And the only way they were abated for me was with a medicine called phenobarbital, which I've seen more recent studies that say that could cause migraines. But for me, it just knocked me out and gave me a relief in sleep that I was getting no other way. I would beg to have some of that stuff. So I just thought I'd toss that out at you since you're talking about it.
Yeah, and phenobarbital is a frequent medication that epileptics take. And I had a college roommate who was on Dilantin and phenobarbital, and in all the year that we lived together, I never saw her have a seizure, and I don't think she ever had one. But if she had one out of my eyesight, I'm sure she wouldn't tell me, because she had a situation where she was from Kentucky, and she had been on this combination of meds for years, and it worked well for her, and she got a new doctor, I guess, when she turned 18, and the doctor started messing with her dosages for no reason, just to mess with them. And he caused a seizure, and he was required by the state of Kentucky to report any patient who had seizures, and they, you know, because they would yank your driver's license for a year until you could prove you weren't having seizures anymore. And so she swore she would never tell another doctor. Now, maybe that's the wrong advice to give. I don't want anybody who's prone to seizures to be out on the road, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it burned her. You know, she went back to the original dosage that suppressed the seizures. And so she felt confident driving. But that's scary, you know. And my, you know, last year, my kid's dog, well, he's a border collie, but he's way past the age that most border collies live. And so the state of Arizona sent a notice to their dad's house. Okay, time to update that dog on his rabies vaccine. And I begged him. I said, please get some kind of an exemption for the dog. He's an indoor dog. He's a geriatric dog. He doesn't run anymore. He doesn't get out. He's not going to spread rabies anywhere. He's not going to get it, much less give it to anybody. And the vet said, no, the state of Arizona doesn't have a medical exemption for dogs. So they shot the dog up with the rabies vaccine. And a couple of months later, you know, he had gone from a nice, you know, healthy, you know, he was healthy. He just small because he was old. And he's got cataracts, so he doesn't see very well, and he doesn't go very far. But, you know, he started having seizures. And so now they've got him on, you know, the doctor, first thing she did was overdose him with phenobarbital and some steroids and some other really, really heavy duty. And she nearly killed him. And she argued with my daughter for like 45 minutes to put him down. And she's like, no, he walked in here under his own power. You did this to him. All he had was the seizures before he came in. You fix it. So they got him down off of these other super duper drugs, off of those, and all he has left is the phenobarbital and some nutritional stuff that we're giving him. I think she's also, my daughter's giving him CS oil, which is related to hemp oil and the CBD stuff, because that is helping some epileptic children out there. And I would not be surprised if, you know, because of the way this happened with just the rabies vaccine and the dog, that, you know, I guess I better read more package inserts. I can't really be sure. But, yep. I'm just too suspicious of the whole vaccine industry. You know, but I wonder if they finally figured out that your migraines were some sort of a seizure. And that's why the phenobarbital.
I have no idea. I don't know how seizures are related to head injuries and so forth. I have no idea.
My college roommate got her epilepsy from a head injury. She had cracked her skull at about the age of 12. That was not a drug damage to her. That was an actual physical injury. So,
anyway, I recovered, and then at the age of 17 was told that one of the reasons I was having trouble with academics was dyslexia, which I like to call dyslexia.
Dysphyxia?
Dyslexia.
What
does that mean? Dyslexia.
You were looking at it.
Huh?
You were licking the desk?
I was told I had dyslexia, which I like to call dyslexia. You don't know dyslexia?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's a joke.
It sounds like you're flipping the letters to me to desk-lickia, you know? I don't know. Ed's yelling from the other. He's listening on the other line over there.
So you have another caller, have you?
Actually, I don't. I mean, you're welcome to stay on this, you know, if you have something you'd like to say, or if you don't, I'll pull up more articles and invite people to call.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have more to contribute to this particular call.
Okay. Okay,
you know, it's fun talking and all that, but I really should go help do some dishes.
Okay. And if you think of anything more, give us a call. And again, for folks out there, the number is 347-324-3704.
And enjoy, Suzanne.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yay. Good talking. Take care. Bye.
You too. Anyway, so we've gone way about it. Yeah, I didn't want to scare the audience with too much of the solar system stuff. But if you want to grasp a hold on it, you know, go to BP Earth Watch. He's got a website and he's got a YouTube channel. And there's stuff going on with Yellowstone, and there's stuff going on with the San Andreas Fault, and there's stuff going on with Mount St. Helens. And if they really are able to cause this kind of thing, you know, as well as the HARP weatherizer thing, you know, we all just got to make our peace with God. You know, that's all I can suggest. You know, a lot of these people, they end their broadcasts with be safe. Like, yeah, be safe. But, you know, if you're not safe because they're coming after you, then, you know, you just got to believe in bigger things than just this life. So anyway, what's next on the list here? I'll find my list. Oh, that's right. I was talking about the Hilda Clark zappers. So you could buy that book on Amazon, or those books, any books by Hilda Clark. You know, the cures for all diseases, the cures for the cure for cancer, all cancers. It's HuldaClark, and I don't. You know, if Amazon doesn't carry it, I know there are places online that you can carry it. Just, you know, search it up. And you know, this dear lady passed away in 2009. I believe she was in her 80s at the time. So she's been working on this a long time. I believe her sons are still involved. And, you know, there's schematics you can download and build it yourself if you're so inclined, you know, from Radio Shack parts. Or you can order these things online, and, you know, some are, you know, under $100, and some are several hundred dollars if you want them computerized, you know, for different lengths of time and different, slightly different frequencies or whatever. But it's like the shape of the wave, like what she claims is that it kills the pathogens that are in your body, and, you know, helps clear it away. I mean, you want your own immune system nice and healthy to take these things out. But if you kill them all at once, you can get sicker before you get better, because you've killed them all at once, and now your body has to take out the trash. And so, you know, all the toxins and the dead pathogen bodies and all that. And that's called the Herxheimer reaction. And that's also observed with the Rife, which isn't zappers. There's the story of Royal Rife out there, and books on him are also available on Amazon by an author named Barry Lines, L-Y-N-E-S. And I read the first book by him about 10 or 12 years ago, and it was a book already 20 years old. But he's still putting out books since then on this issue. And you can go to a German website. It's actually in English, though, but it's out of Germany, called rife.de, http://rife.de, and they have a massive amount of, forums that you can read and documentation you can read. And that was the man, when he first started curing cancer in the 30s, there was a big newspaper splurge out of San Diego, you know, that cancer's over, diseases are over, and next thing you know, the FDA was, you know, the old same old story, come in, you know, confiscate the lab, everything in it, smash things around, whatever. And he died a broken man in the 60s, is my understanding, this researcher named Royal Rife. You know, what he contributed to mankind might prove to be absolutely wonderful. So, you know, and of course, it's almost like everything that can do something good can be weaponized out there. And so, you know, you have to be careful with this, because the way the rife thing works is it focuses on pathogens, you know, under a microscope, and it shines a light of a particular frequency, and the microbe will fluoresce in the frequency that's appropriate for itself. So if you know the frequency for that life form, that pathogen, you can fluoresce it until it shatters like a glass of wine. And, you know, there's different frequencies for each pathogen, and there are books online about that, you know, the frequencies for different different pathogens, and excuse me, I think there's whole protocols that you can download for different machines and all this, and you know, of course, that means that there is that military applications, which, you know, you really don't want to turn a science into a weapon, but it seems like almost every science is being turned into a weapon these days. You know, whether it's vaccines or whether it's solar astronomy, you know, observing sunspots and magnetic fields, and all of a sudden, gee, we can make this magnetic field do this on this sunspot here, and gee, it ricochets back, and gee, look what the seismology instruments say, and it's just a sad world, and there are some crazy people walking around, and my what I mean by crazy are people who are using science not for the betterment of mankind, but for the harm of mankind. And that's and I guess mankind is a politically incorrect, I should say humanity, but, you know, I don't have any beef against men, so I don't care which one I use. So anyway, another article down the list here is a chip implanted in the brain helps paralyzed man regain control of his hand. And that's an interesting story. They put the, you know, implanted the implant in his brain, and by focusing his thoughts, now he can get his one hand to work, and he can control his computer and things like that. And that's at the New York Times, and that was about a month ago. It says, chip implanted in the brain helps paralyzed man regain control of hand. 5 years ago, a college freshman named Ian Burkhart dived into a wave at a beach off the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and in a freakish accident broke his neck on the sandy floor, permanently losing the feeling in his hands and legs. On Wednesday, doctors reported that Mr. Burkhart, 24, had regained control over his right hand and fingers using technology that transmits his thoughts directly to his hand muscles and bypasses his spinal cord injury. The doctor's study, published by the Journal of the Journal Nature, is the first account of limb reanimation, as it is known, in a person with quadriplegia. Doctors implanted a chip in Mr. Burkhart's brain 2 years ago. Seated in a lab with the implant connected through a computer to a sleeve on his arm, he was able to learn by repetition and arduous practice to focus his thoughts to make his hand pour from a bottle, and I guess into a glass, and to pick up a straw and stir. He was even able to play a guitar video game. He says, it's crazy because I had lost sensation in my hands, and I had to watch my hand to know whether I was squeezing or extending the fingers. And at this point, I was like, so sad to read the rest of the article, because they're not really healing him. They're giving him use back of his hand, dependent on this chip. His spinal cord injury is not healed in any way, shape, or form. He can't feel that hand, you know. It just strikes me as so sad. He's not healed. He's just more useful to himself, I guess. And of course, there's a lot to be said for that. You know, maybe he can button his own shirts. I don't know. And I can imagine that life with a spinal cord injury, it must be very, very hard. I had a friend a few years ago, a musician, a really good musician. He was in a popular group in Southern Arizona. And motorcycle accident, man in his 50s, and it was like the day before he was to sell that motorcycle. And, you know, of course, he could never play again. He was, you know, in this electric wheelchair that he had to control, I guess, with puffers. I don't know. And he was in therapy in Colorado for months and months and months to learn how to get around. And his family, you know, was participated, and they had his house all remodeled with ramps and everything. And, you know, they had a huge celebration for him. It was a fundraiser for helping them, you know, retrofit the house and all that. But, you know, it was, he got to feel the love of the community. He did come out on stage and speak a little bit, but with his ventilator, between his breaths, and it was heartbreaking, but everybody loved showing him the love, and it wasn't long after that he passed away in his sleep. And so I don't know if he just let go knowing everybody loved him or what happened, but I don't want just people to get, a brain implant and they can see their hand move, but they can't feel their hand move. I want the world to find a cure for spinal cord injury. And there is some helpful things out there. They're not electronic. There are some drug things out there. And I did bookmark a couple of those. It goes on to robo. There's another article about a robotic exoskeleton with paralyzed walk. Well, I guess that's if you're like paraplegic, but that's the same kind of thing. You're not really healed. You're just kind of being walked around by a robot that fits over your body. But there is some hope out there for actually healing cords, and some are nutritional. I've read, and I haven't pulled up any of those articles yet, but there's also an odd thing. But first, the drug one, a drug might heal spinal injuries by sparking nerve growth. And this is about a year and a half ago, December of 2014. And so the scientist who chose to ignore the mainstream nearly 30 years ago has found a new way to regenerate nerves in the spinal cord, at least in animals. A drug that Jerry Silver, a professor of neuroscience at Case Western Reserve University, helped design a drug that has allowed paralyzed rats to regain bladder function and even walk. The drug works by releasing nerve fibers that have become trapped in scar tissue after a spinal cord injury. Silver says, now we've got something that might work in people, though it hasn't been tested in humans yet, he says. The study was published Wednesday in Nature, so in that same magazine, Nature, that published the other article. The research that led to this drug began in the 80s. At the time, Silver and many other scientists were studying nerves. He says everybody else in the world was asking why nerves grow the way they do, and I thought I'd do something different and ask why they don't grow where they don't. And that's, I guess, that got into his research about the scar tissue and stuff. And he said, he had some success with rats, and he published an article, and he says it took another 10 years to convince the scientific world that the finding was real. Because, I remember back when I was, taking my biology classes in high school and college and stuff, they said, well, the body can heal bones and the body can heal skin, but the body can't heal nerves. And that was like emphatic. It was like dogmatic. The body cannot heal nerves. And I'm like, well, and I never really thought about it. But this guy did. The body can possibly heal nerves. And the article goes on about, when he was able to, with this drug, free these nerves from the scar tissue. But then they started growing kind of, he said, crazy like kudzu. Kudzu is a vine that goes crazy in the southeast, and it can swallow your house if you let it. And that's what he was finding. And so he had to find a way to control where it grew and amplify its signal, so if you the nerve endings could communicate with the nerve endings they were supposed to and not go crazy. I hope this is helpful for the future. I did come across, I love to find these offbeat scientific things on YouTube, and there's a guy in England who has what he calls inclined bed therapy, and he said, thousands of years ago the Egyptians didn't actually sleep on flat cots or beds or whatever. They inclined them, like maybe the head was maybe 6 inches or more higher than the feet. And, he's been having people experiment with that, and various ailments that they had been plagued with for years would heal. There's just something about the way the body flows blood and the way the way you have, valves in your bloodstream to, help it progress, help your blood flow progress forward and not backwards. Sleeping on a slope like that, he says, helps people. And he's got one guy there who started sleeping on an incline, and he was a paraplegic. And, I don't think he's 100% recovered yet. I'm waiting for more videos. But the guy was able to eventually get up out of his wheelchair and walk on some parallel bars along and actually move his feet, direct his feet with his mind through his own neurological system to walk along. And he says, this kind of thing is so incredibly simple that nobody will believe it. And I'm kind of one who, I just love a simple answer that will solve a big problem, because sometimes all you need is just one little thing and one piece in the puzzle, and all of a sudden everything falls together. And I'm hoping that this is one of those things and that some scientists will take him seriously, although, you know, of course I know there's not a lot of money to be made just raising the end of your bed. You know, if all hospitals in the world started doing that, I wonder how long, how many hospitals we'd actually need for very long. You know, they'd have a lot of empty beds if people actually healed of whatever ailed them and got up and left. And so it's just an interesting concept that's called inclined bed therapy, if you want to search that up on YouTube and see this guy. And I really wish he would improve the audio of his videos, because it is hard to hear what they say, and some of them have kind of thick British accents, which to an American ear might be a little difficult. Anyway, I see I'm overdue for a commercial break, so I'll be back in a few minutes.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
Contact them at 573-893-1558. lots of problems with Common Core. I don't even have time to go into most of them. But a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students and get the federal government out of education.
Solutions to delusions. How do you do this? Well, discerning the times and making sense of current events by listening with our eyes and watching with our ears. How do things affect our everyday life? What can you do about it? What about the world around us? How does it impact us? How do we find out and connect the dots? Well, are you ready to make sense of current events with us? To know the truth? To pierce the veil? Join my co-host, Papa Bear, along with myself, your host, Tara Dawn, as we will be bringing you the news and how it relates to the times we live in. How does it affect you, the individual, and we as a nation of diverse backgrounds? What it means for those of faith, and how we can make informed decisions concerning the times we live in, watching with our ears and listening with our eyes to bring you solutions to the many delusions that bombard us daily. So tune in every Friday night on the Delusion Solution Radio Show from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 12 midnight Eastern right here on Freedomizer Network. Call-in number is 347-324-3704 to listen in and press 1 on your dial pad if you want to participate in what is being discussed. So we are looking forward to having you with us every Friday night to discover solutions to the delusions that bombard us.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hi, so we're back. If you want to participate in the conversation or if you just want to listen in, dial 347-324-3704. Or you can listen through at freedomizerradio.com. There's a listen live button there, or through Blog Talk Radio. Put the phone app on your phone and you'll be all set. Again, if you want to call in, you can listen by phone or you can dial 1 after dialing in and join the conversation. Again, the number is 347-324-3704. So next on the list of these all related topics, I file it under entertainment here. Is the future of music a chip in your brain? Now, this is a Wall Street Journal article. They let you read the first few paragraphs, and then you got to sign in or subscribe. And I signed in, but I'm not a paid subscription, so they still just give me a couple of paragraphs. But this I find really creepy. It's the future of music, a chip in your brain. Stephen Witt, author of How Music Got Free, imagines a future where algorithms replace albums. Frank Sinatra has new hits, and the DJ always plays your favorite song. And this was last December he wrote this. The year is 2040, and as you wait for a drone to deliver your pizza, you decide to throw on some tunes. Once a commodity bought and sold in stores, music is now an omnipresent utility invoked via spoken word commands. In response to a simple play, an algorithmic DJ opens a blended set of songs incorporating information about your location, your recent activities, and your historical preferences, complemented by biofeedback from your implanted smart chip. A calming set of lo-fi indie hits streams forth while the algorithm adjusts the beats per minute and acoustic profile to the rain outside. And the article goes on past where I can read it. And I find that really creepy because I like listening to music with my ears. And I can't imagine this kind of a thing where you would implant, I guess, something you call, some people call an earworm, when you can't get a tune out of your head, why would somebody deliberately do that to themselves? And I particularly like my ears. I like to use my ears to listen to music, and I like to play music with my own instruments, and I prefer acoustic instruments over electronic instruments. That's just my personal thing. I know people that are wizards on electronic instruments, you know, the keyboards and the different sounds and everything they can get out of them. But it makes me think, well, you know, I know that they have these cochlear implants for deaf people, and that I think there's a couple of different kinds of implants that bypass the damaged auditory nerve for deaf people. And I know I've actually run into people on Facebook who think that they should be banned for children because that if you actually cure deafness, the deaf community might fade away, the deaf culture. And I had never, when I first ran into that, I was absolutely dumbfounded. It's like, well, I always thought culture was to serve the individual, not the individual to serve the culture. You know, it's like, just like the economy is to serve the people, not the people to serve the economy. And there are actually people out there like this. They don't want to get rid of deaf culture because I guess there are whole industries built up around deaf sign language, and sign language is a beautiful thing. It really is. And you know, there are people who teach their toddlers sign language before they have the agility in their mouths to, you know, pronounce things clearly. You know, they can signal they want a glass of juice or something. And they, you know, for kids that are a little bit late learning to talk, it can thwart a lot of temper tantrums if they can make themselves understood. And so, I'm not against sign language, but I'm against intentionally not helping somebody, you know, recover a human body ability when they really could, you know, when something could solve it. And, you know, there was a few years ago when Rush Limbaugh lost his hearing, I always wondered about that. You know, all of a sudden he had this horrible virus that destroyed his auditory nerves and, you know, it nearly destroyed his radio career. But he had the cochlear implant put in. And when he has trouble understanding people, he reads a rolling transcript on, you know, what people are saying to him on the phone so he can understand what they're saying. And so he can use his radio show like he always did. And for that to not be available to him, you know, of course, it's doing something, you know, in that case, the cochlear implant is doing something wonderful. It would be more wonderful if he could actually have his ears healed. Because what he has said on the rare occasion that he talks about it is he can listen to music if it's music he's heard before, if it's a melody he's heard before. But if he hasn't heard that piece before, he can't follow the melody. He can't enjoy the music. It's just noise to him. So it's kind of a sad thing. And then I have to think back, well, how did he get this weird virus that suddenly attacked his auditory nerves? You know, I've just been doing so much reading myself that I'm suspicious of any weird sudden onset of a weird disease like that. So, you know, we know there's viruses and vaccines. We know that there's unlabeled viruses and vaccines that some labs have turned up and exposed. And so, you know, the world is really, really kind of in sad shape. But I can't imagine, you know, when I have good working ears, to listen to music via a chip in my head. I find that horrifying. You know, I just find it, you know, we see people walking along the street all the time with the wires hanging out of their ears because they're listening to something going on and, you know, yeah, it's in their own heads, but they're using their ears. They can, you know, hear, if the music's not too loud, what's going on outside the world. Hopefully they can hear a car beep at them if they're not paying attention to where they're walking. And I don't know. And this thing about Frank Sinatra has new hits. Yeah, I saw, I don't know if anybody follows Mark Dice, but he had an interesting thing the other day on one of his videos. And he's the guy that, you know, sometimes Judge will link to him because he'll find people who actually will sign really wacky petitions. You know, wacky petitions that will, you know, sign something that's actually self-destructive. And he's just like, how are these people so oblivious that they'll sign something like this? And so what a video that he had on was, I had never heard of before, but I guess because I don't have an iPhone, but I guess there's this little app that, you know, it's a game app, but you can take a picture of yourself making a certain expression, and then you can put that expression on your friend's face, and you guys can swap faces and make each other make funny faces, and it's all a big game. Well, I guess this technology has been around for a while. It just wasn't out in the general public. What he said that back when they made the movie Forrest Gump, which that's a pretty old movie, there's a scene in there where Forrest Gump meets President John Kennedy, and John Kennedy has some words to speak to him. They shake hands, whatever. And I'm like, wow, how did they do that? How did they get a clip of John Kennedy doing exactly what they wanted and have Tom Hanks interact with them? And well, okay, they must have already had the clip of John F. Kennedy, and they somehow magically put Tom Hanks in the scene with him. And it turns out that's not what they did at all. This technology of transposing somebody's face over somebody else's face, they had another actor play the part, and then they put John Kennedy's face on it and had John Kennedy talk to him. Well, they can do that now with voices. They'll take an imprint of your voice, and you can make somebody, you can put your voice into somebody else's face now and have them speak it. It's really, really scary. Because then I guess only a really highly trained eye, really maybe highly trained ear, can detect that these videos are fake. And you know what? I don't think I really want to listen to a song written 10 years from now sung in Frank Sinatra's voice. I mean, sure, the impersonators who do their thing on Las Vegas stages, they're very talented, and that's wonderful. That's an art form in itself, but it's a human art form. Having computers sing and dance for you and talk for you and make expressions with your face, I find really creepy. And so, I guess it's got a big laugh factor, and it's just, maybe I'm just too old-fashioned. I remember a world without a lot of electronics around, and this is, I would rather hear the real Frank Sinatra sing on an old movie than this. So that's just me, and I much less have it injected directly into my head. Yeah. I've heard rumors, too, that there are military applications for this, too, and the next article down, the U.S. military wants a chip to translate your brain activity into binary code. And so, you know, just download your brain into their translator, and they can just translate your whole thought process. The article goes on. It's been a weird day for weird science. And how old is this article? This article, where's the date on it? This past January. And they have a picture of a brain. It's just an artist's rendition, but a picture of a brain with all these plugs plugged into it all over the brain. It's been a weird day for science. Not long after researchers claimed victory in performing a head transplant on a monkey, which I don't think those monkeys live very long. The U.S. military's Blue Sky R&D agency announced a completely insane plan to build a chip that would enable the human brain to communicate directly with computers. Well, that's kind of like what's going on with that man with the hand, with the right hand, the paralyzed man with the hand. And, you know, his life is improved a little bit. I'll give him that. But my goal for humanity is to have these things healed. Anyway, enable the human brain to communicate directly with computers. What is this weird, surreal future? It's all real, believe it or not, or at least DARPA desperately wants it to be. The first wireless brain-to-computer interface actually popped up a few years ago, and DARPA worked on various brain chip projects over the years. But there are shortcomings to existing technology. According to today's announcement, current brain-computer interfaces are akin to two supercomputers trying to talk to each other using an old 300 baud modem. And that's a really old modem. I remember 300 baud modems. A 300 baud is like a third of a kilobyte. And we had these acoustic couplers that we would, you know, the phone would dial up bulletin board you wanted to talk to. It was before the widespread internet. Everybody had separate bulletin boards and dial-up numbers, so you'd know the number. You'd have this acoustic coupler that was plugged into your monitor, or your, didn't even have computers at the time, and you'd put this, it would hold your phone, and it would actually beep and boop at it and communicate between your phone and this other computer that you're calling. Anyway, and that is at the rate, I believe, of about a third of a kilobyte. That's really, really slow. You know. Anyway, but we didn't have the big graphics at the time. We were only transmitting text anyway, but it was still slow. Anyway, it was, they just aren't fast enough, these this computer-to-brain communication. They just aren't fast enough for truly transformative neurological applications like restoring vision to a blind person. Now that's a good goal to have, too. This would ostensibly involve a camera that can transmit visual information directly to the brain, and then the implant would translate the data to neural language. And I'm sure they want to go in reverse and read your mind, too. To accomplish this magnificent feat, DARPA is launching a new program called Neurological Engineering System Design, NESD, that stands to squeeze some characteristically bonkers innovation out of the science community. I'm sure there'll be new majors in NESD, too, a form of engineering in colleges. In a press release, the agency describes what's undoubtedly the closest thing to a Johnny Pneumatic plotline you've ever seen in real life. It reads, a new DARPA program aims to develop an implantable neural interface able to provide unprecedented signal resolution and data transfer bandwidth between the human brain and the digital world. The interface would serve as a translator, converting between the electrochemical language used by neurons in the brain and the ones and zeros that constitute the language of information technology. So DARPA wants to turn neural language into digital code, potentially opening up scenarios wherein the human brain can mainline data and people can talk to machines simply by thinking, like having the internet inside your head, which they sarcastically say would not be overwhelming at all. Well, I don't know that people long-term, all day long, can control their thoughts linearly in such a fashion to drive the car. Well, I guess they won't have any drivable cars anymore by then, but you know, to talk to computers in an orderly fashion. Because, I mean, I don't know about their listening, but, you know, the way I like to think about things in different directions, and I'll pick a subject and I'll look at things from all different directions and think many thoughts at once, even though, you know, it only comes out of my mouth one after the other. But that is kind of scary, because if they can take out, they can put in. And I think what they're not telling you is I believe that they could do this without the implant. Like using the Rife technology, they can gain frequencies at your head. There's, you know, rumors floating around out there that they can make you hear things that aren't there. Well, they're there, but they're not actually audible sounds. They're not actual sound waves. They're somehow manipulating your oral nerves in, you know, shifting the frequencies in such a fashion that you hear words. And so then you get the people with the tinfoil hats who believe that they're having things transmitted into their heads this way, and people make jokes about people with tinfoil hats that, you know, gotta wonder. There are some beautiful knitted tinfoil hats on Etsy. Etsy is a craft online. It's kind of like eBay, but it's not bidding. People set up little shops and offer their handcrafts for sale, and I came across tinfoil hats, and there's some beautiful ones there, and there's a super beautiful one that is actually knitted and just has the curling brims, and it's very stylish, and it's a tinfoil hat, and so I'd be tempted to order it, except, well, I really can't afford it yet, but, you know, with science stories coming out like this, people in tinfoil hats are really not so crazy, I don't think. So anyway, the phone number, if you'd like to join in the conversation, is 347-324-3704. And again, that's 347-324-3704. And hit 1 if you want to join the conversation. And thank you. I see somebody's calling us in. I think I recognize the number. Is this Ed?
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing? Yes, very nice. Okay. Very nice show today. You're ranging through so many different things. You know, you were talking about Rush Limbaugh and his cochlear implant, and you know how
yes.
He still could not do music with it and stuff. that had to be familiar music. Yeah. But that made me feel so sad, you know. And then I was thinking, you know, I wonder what would happen if he tried medical marijuana, if he got a prescription for medical marijuana. Because one of the things that the psychedelic drugs, such as marijuana and LSD, are known to do is they mix the senses. The sensory apparatus there becomes kind of, it's very convoluted. It's very, you know, somehow in the brain, it is possible, you know, with something like hashish or marijuana or LSD, to literally see music, to see the colors of the rainbow in front of you as the different notes are struck. It's a totally different, you know, perspective on life, you know, the same way that, so different types of sensory impressions would, you know, would be created in that way. He might get that might do something for him. I know.
I wonder what that would feel like, seeing music through your eyes. Is that like seeing dancing?
Well, there's different levels of it, you see. There's different levels of it. When a person is just on a mild high, they should have their eyes are closed. And then they can, if they imagine that they're seeing a Mickey Mouse, you know, and Donald Duck or something like that, then you can see those when you're in your mind's eye with your eyelids shut. Then on a little bit higher dose, you can open your eyes and you can see Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck hopping around on the floor in front of you with your eyes open, you see. So it just depends on how
that scary.
Well, I should have thought of it scary, and I should have thought of it as something I should never try. But, you know, when I was in college, you know, everybody was doing this, and I was introduced to this and introduced to that. And pretty soon, you know, I was doing that. And it didn't seem strange at all and didn't seem scary at all. But I tell you, it's a vast new dimension of consciousness that I think only the people that have experimented with it really can talk about or understand, because it seems to take part of your mind and put it into a different galaxy, you know, or takes this reality and opens it wide open in ways that you've never seen or felt, you know, before. So this for me was something that happened 40 years ago, and I have not gone back to it, but I have not really assimilated or digested it either. It's something that I'm still interested in. Sometimes I try to write about it, you know, but it's hard to write about. It's like you have to be there.
Yeah, well, I have heard of people who can do this without the aid of a drug. Like they associate colors with notes. Like they'll hear music and colors will like kind of flash with those. And there's actually a name for that condition. I forget what it is.
It's a vivid imagination, maybe. Huh?
It could be.
If you started thinking of C, middle C, right? And then if you started thinking yellow, and then the next color would be D, the next note would be D, and then you start thinking orange, and the next note would be E, and that would be blue. You know, I suppose, you know, you could have the whole spectrum on a keyboard. Or what would that do for somebody playing mandolin or a stringed instrument, though? I don't know.
I used to think of letters as having colors.
Well, you used to think that?
I used to think of letters as having colors when I was a kid, for
kindergarten and for very early elementary school, they do that, don't they? They combine colors with notes and all kinds of other stuff for a visual kick, you know.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, another subject that you. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say another subject
that's
that you had was pain management. And that seems to be something as people get older that they really need, pain management. I was in a terrible accident a couple weeks ago. Well, maybe it was more like a month ago. And I found that Aleve, which used to work for headaches and stuff, doesn't work for you if you're really messed up. You know, I mean, there's just a level of pain where you need something more. And I know one friend who fell out of a basket in a shopping, in a Safeway store, fell on her head and almost died from that. When she was one and a half years old, and she's always had, you know, headaches and all kinds of, you know, problems. I mean, she's just barely functional. I think her IQ is somewhere below a 90 or whatever. But and she's sought pain relief her whole entire life in every possible way that she could, and including prescription drugs, you know, and everything else. And the final thing that she got on was medical marijuana, and that seems to have been what she needed, but
wow.
It's also expensive. She doesn't get it for free. It's not free.
Where,
she's
got
to pay $40, $50. She had several accidents, and so she typically has pains in her head. Anyway, that's from the childhood accident. But now she's also got pains in her calves and ankles and pains in her shoulders and stuff. And some of these are from broken bones that she's had, you know. And it's just, I just feel sorry. I just feel sorry that people have to be in pain. And gosh darn, you know, if there's a remedy out there that's not habit forming, because that would be bad, right? That's not habit forming. That's not going to destroy their, body, like heroin or something like that, but or destroy their mind. But doggone it, you know, if there's a good way of overcoming pain, then let's find what it is, you know, for that. Maybe it's out there and it just needs a prescription. I don't know. Have you ever had to deal with serious pain issues in your life?
Well, when I was having those random migraines from the instant coffee, that was...
Oh, yeah?
It was just random days, like a couple times a month. I just have this random just day
Went
out. And...
But that was never diagnosed, was it?
No. No, but I knew what it was. I mean, it was severe pain. It was, you know, nausea. It was light sensitivity. And I stumbled upon what was causing it. And that's
and so
pretty
were
much
you
something
to fix it?
People can do for themselves. Stop drinking instant coffee. That resolved it.
It can't be that simple. It can't be that simple, really?
Well, it didn't cost me anything other than, you know, the time it took me to figure it out. But that wasn't anything somebody could prescribe for me. You know.
So what do you drink
it
now?
Was too easy. I drink brewed coffee. And I make sure it's a good quality blend. Because if I drink the really cheap stuff, I get a headache. It might not be a migraine, but I do get a headache. So.
And I wonder, did you research a little bit about why? What there is about instant coffee that could cause a problem like that? Is it?
No, I didn't. I don't care. I just solved it for myself. If I'm on one of these groups on Facebook and somebody's complaining about migraines, I said, well, for me, it was instant coffee and cheap coffee. I had to just up the quality. I didn't have to give up coffee. I just had to up the quality of what I was drinking. So I don't know what was in it. So.
Just go for Starbucks or something, you know? Really high quality.
Well, I don't have to go that high quality to avoid the pain.
I'm a sucker for coffee. I got to have 3 or 4 cups every day or nothing happens, you know. Nothing happens mentally or physically.
Yeah.
I just got to have that coffee going. So what other interesting topics did you have? Oh, the thing about Sinatra, listening to Sinatra.
Oh, Frank Sinatra.
Somebody
hasn't
written yet. But not listening to Sinatra, listening to basically somebody else trying to play Sinatra, trying to sing Sinatra.
Yeah.
Isn't that just like a cover? Like when we listen to a cover of an old song? Like
it's a computerized cover. It actually has sampled his voice and it's a computer thing. It's like, to me, it's not an art form anymore if it's a computer performing it.
It's like a robot, then, in a way. Is it like a robot voice?
That's exactly what it is.
That's disgusting.
So I can't say it's disgusting, and some people find it entertaining. And there's this, what is it? It's some kind of a holographic rock star in Japan. And my kids follow it, and I forget its name. But it actually, they sell tickets, and they have filled concert halls, and this thing sings in a computer voice, and it's a very high-pitched voice, but, you know, childlike, you know, it's the style, you know, for these anime characters, and this thing dances on the stage. And it's totally computerized, robotized, and they sell tickets to it. Like, I don't know, you know, who's making the money? You know, it's certainly not a
Let me give you an analogy, okay? We love Star Trek, right? We look at the original Star Trek, and you know, the Star Trek Generations is not bad. And then they have this new one now with the younger kids, right? I mean, 20s that are playing Kirk and Spock and all that. What's this latest one? Is it called Generations or what the heck is it? We went through Generation and we went through Discovery. Whatever.
There's been several series.
Well, you know what? You know what this story is that you're what it reminds me of? I want you to imagine a Star Trek. We're watching Star Trek on TV, and instead of it being young people playing Spock and Kirk and everything, it's robots. Robots come out. Computer computer-generated characters, sort of like almost like
they didn't even
halfway
need
like almost
robot.
Like cartoons. Cartoons would be actually better, but
thing.
I mean, like, yeah, they could. Well, but that would be a cartoon, right? But I'm saying something in between,
no,
something
the
like
qualities
like
of
human figures that are actually robots. Like, you see what I mean? Now, wouldn't that be unpleasant? That would be an unpleasant experience to watch
it's
robots
like a,
playing
it's
Star
kind
Trek.
Of a computerized puppet show. So.
Right, yeah, computerized puppet show. Or a puppetized.
I'm such a Jerry Mahoney fan as a kid. And you're lucky if you can find any Jerry Mahoney on YouTube. That was Paul Winchell before he was Tigger.
Well, how would you like to see a Star Trek where it's like somebody has their hand up inside Spock or Kirk, or like marionettes like on a string, you know? They're like somebody.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That would
dangling
be
them like
that'd
on a string. That would be a real puppet show. Well, anyway, nice to explore some of these topics with you. I love your show.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Soon. Well, come back next week, too.
I'll try.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. So we're back to electronic medicine or chips and... Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be taking any chips in my brain unless it's absolutely for pain suppression and they can't do it any other way. Is this thing about downloading or uploading to and from your brain? I know there's people, you know, in these articles you can go read the comment sections and find forums and all this stuff, and people kid about, well, this is how you can get, you know, eternal life. Just download your brain and into this machine and you'll live beyond your years in your body. Well, I happen to think that there's more to human life than the body and the brain. You know, there's the self that actually, goes on to a bigger life. And in our family, we have some experiences that lead us to believe that there is a bigger life outside the body and the brain. So just downloading all the information from my brain into a hard drive somewhere, I don't equate to living. Certainly, if I can't pick up an instrument and play it, and if I can't put on some headsets and listen to nice music, then what can I say? I don't think that's living. And we didn't even talk about the data character. You know, the android on Star Trek who was, he always wanted to be more human than he was. And he would, make attempts at humor, and he would make attempts at music, and, he could technically do the music really well, but it was kind of robotic, and he'd have these little concerts on the show, and this is, I think that was the Next Generation series. And that actor, by the way, is still on, he's on Twitter, and he's out there, and he's doing his acting thing, and he's doing his interacting with the public on Twitter, and he's got a real personality. It's just kind of funny because, after you watch him for years with this deadpan face, this kind of this robotic thing walking around, being an android before there were android phones, it's kind of funny. Here he is, he's actual, a real human being with a real personality, and information is one thing, personality and a bigger life is I think what being a human being is about. Anyway, we're getting near the end of the hour here, and I did I realized that I did miss one promo segment, so let me play one of those, and we'll sign off in a moment here.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo. Be sure to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10:30 to noon Pacific Daylight Time and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Justice Club on Freedomizer Radio. Grab a snack, grab a latte, grab a friend, or grab a stranger. I've been on the front lines for 25 years, and I've been labeled as the Crusader for Equal Rights by the media many times. So join my crusade on the Justice Club at Freedomizer Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10:30 to noon Pacific Daylight Time and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio. seems things are happening so fast now. And again, I want to thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be with your audience and with you tonight. Everyone out there in your listening audience, they should listen to you every single day. Don't you miss a program. Lord bless everybody. Set that spiritual house in order. It's the most important thing out there. Thank you, and good night.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Shalom, and praises to the Father. More and more, we see the lies and the deceptions of the world, where it should be obvious we are in a spiritual battle. So I'd like to invite you to tune into the Sound Doctrine Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network, where we will reason together according to the Holy Scriptures. Also, blessing you with an occasional guest, our spiritual common sense commentary, and spiritual uplifting songs that give praises to our Father. You can call in and speak to our host, or just listen to the show at 347-324-3704 every Tuesday and Saturday, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Or you can tune into our chat room at freedomizerradio.com. Blessings and peace to your heart.
Hi, so this is Suzanne with the Mad Scientist Exposed show, and I'd like to thank you for spending this time with me this week. I'll be on again next week at the same time, Tuesdays, 4:30 p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, and that add 3 hours to that for Eastern time. So again, thank you very much, and we'll find some interesting topics to talk about. There are mad scientists out there, and there's wonderful things happening, and there's weapons happening, and it's scary. So we all got to look out and be safe and make your peace with us.